asked me to speak for him this morning because I'm some great speaker, as you will find out, or a great song leader, as you did find out, not because I have an exciting story to tell or I'm a very charismatic speaker. He asked me just to get up and speak the Word of God to you this morning, and hopefully, by God's grace, I can do that. So when thinking about a topic this morning to speak to you about, the value of the Word of God popped into my mind, obviously, without Pastor being here. The value of the Word of God was something that was important, I think. Do we see the value in the Word of God in our lives? And with that, I came to the passage of Psalm 19 as our passage this morning. So in your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 19, and we'll study about why is the Word of God so valuable? Why is the Word of God so valuable? And we see from this passage three distinct reasons, three different areas that we're going to study this morning. And the first we see is the source of the Word of God. Secondly, we're going to study is the characteristics of the Word of God. And third, we're going to look at the benefits to the Word of God. So first of all, we'll just read Psalm 19 in verses 7 through 11. I'll read and you can follow along with me. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Again, this morning we're seeing that this passage uses actually a lot of different words for the Word of God. It says the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear of the Lord, the judgments. Again, it uses many different terms, but it's all speaking about the Word of God. So first we can see why the Word of God is so valuable is because of its source. And first we see that the Bible is a revelation from God. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and see why is the Word of God so valuable. It's because its source is a revelation from God. So let's see this in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29:29, a familiar verse, I'm sure, to most of you. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may, what? Do all the works of His law." Again, we see that the Word of God is valuable because of its source. It's a revelation from God. It's from God to man. But secondly, we can see that the Word of God is also valuable because of how it was revealed. And it's by inspiration. If you got your handouts there, second word, I believe, is inspiration. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and see the method God used to communicate His Word to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Again, here we see that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What does that mean? Inspiration here literally means that it was God-breathed. God told the men that wrote the Bible exactly what to say. And that's why it's so amazing. It's from God to us. And it's been inspired that God told all of the authors exactly what to write down. And then the third reason there I put on your handouts is it's an acrostic. The proof of the source is FAST PUPPY. FAST PUPPY. And what does that stand for? Proof of the source, again, this is a way that you can check out your Bibles. This is a way we know that our Bibles are from God. And I didn't give you a lot of room there to write, but the F stands for fulfilled prophecy. Again, the Bible is the only book of its kind that actually has prophesied in the Old Testament and has come forth in the New Testament, especially considering all the prophecies of Jesus Christ and His coming. The A is for archaeology. Again, archaeology has always helped the Bible prove that the Bible is true. These are, again, reasons, proof of the source of the Bible. The Dead Sea Scrolls, finding of those in 1944, I believe, were proof of some of the original manuscripts. I think they were dated to 100 years after they were originally written. And they checked them out and they found that they are very similar with almost no discrepancy between the Bibles that we have today. And I guess the question is for you is, if God could supernaturally write the Bible, couldn't He supernaturally preserve it as well so that we have a copy of it today? Thirdly, the S is supernatural unity. What does that mean? That there is 40 different authors that wrote the Bible. There's 66 different books. It was written over a period of almost 1,600 years in three languages and differing topics. Yet there's no contradictions within the Bible when it's studied correctly. There's no contradictions. This is a proof that we can believe our Bible today. T is for the testimony of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ walked on earth, He actually quoted from Scriptures Himself. He said, "It is written," numerous times. And how these words He used were effective. P, power to change lives. It's amazing when you read some of the accounts in the Bible of the changed lives with the apostles, the prophets, and even everyday people that were inspirational in the book of the Bible. Power to change lives, and also for us today. U is for unique teaching. Again, the Bible is the emphasis on grace. It's what God has done for us. It's offering heaven as a free gift. No other, quote, religion offers that. Every other religion in the world says, this is what you must do, what you have to do to get to heaven and to merit heaven. The Bible is unique in its teaching. Another P, preservation unrivaled. Again, the Bible preserved, you can believe today, is very similar to the original manuscripts that were originally written. Again, there's a lot of textual studies that you can do to prove that with the amount of manuscripts. Again, it's the manuscripts' evidence is overwhelming. It's more than any other book in antiquity. And another P is publication unrivaled. Again, the Bible has sold more copies in more languages than any other book ever written, and it's still a bestseller today, over 2,000 years later. And the U, or the Y, I mean, is you. Why is you, not you is you. Why is you? What is you? It tells it like it is. The Bible cuts to the heart. Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is sharp. It's piercing. There's topics in there that can relate directly to us today. It tells it like it is. It tells us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. So these are some of the reasons why the Word of God is valuable. It's because of its source. But secondly, I want to look at why the Word of God is valuable. Actually, let's go back to Psalm 19, and I want to just show you why I picked Psalm 19 this morning in our text. We'll go back and look at the Word of God as the source is of the Lord. When you read through, when we read through Psalm 19, I forgot to show you guys at first here that the word or the phrase of the Lord is mentioned in Psalm 19, 7 through 11, six times. If you look, verse 7, the law of the Lord. Secondly, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. Again, the key phrase there is of the Lord. We know that our Bible is valuable because the source is of the Lord. Six times in just those three verses. But secondly, we want to see the characteristics from Psalm 19 that the Word of God is valuable. So if we look again in verse 7, Psalm 19, 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. So we see that the Word of God is perfect. What does this mean? The Word of God is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. It's sufficient to meet all of our needs. This means we don't need any additional revelation today. We can look at Revelation 22, 18 through 19. We don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. Revelation 22, 18 through 19 says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the 10 plagues, add to him the plagues that were written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from those things which were written in this book. God is very clear. The canon of Scripture is complete. And we do not need any additional revelation today. So when a Mormon comes to your house and says, we have the Book of Mormon that Joseph Smith wrote in the early 1800s, we know that that is not true. God said the Scripture was complete. We don't need any additional revelation today. But secondly, we see in verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure. The testimony of the Lord is sure. So we see that the Word of God is sure. This means that the Word of God is what? It's reliable, it's dependable, and it's trustworthy. And let's just turn a couple of pages ahead here to Psalm 119. We'll see a good verse that came to mind when I was thinking about the Word of God is dependable, it's sure. Psalm 119, 105. Verse we've heard so many times. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light to my path. And that verse just brings to mind, as I think of a lighted path, if you're walking at night, you know that obviously it's much easier to find your way if the path is lit than if it would be dark. We can see that the word of God is like a lit path. God has a perfect will for our lives, and he wants to show it to us. The word of God is sure. Let's go back to Psalm 19 and see the next word in verse 8, the next characteristic of why we can believe our Bible. Psalm 19, verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. The third characteristic we see here from Psalm 19 is that the Word of God is right. What does that mean? It's in accordance to that which is good, proper, or just. It's in conformity with fact, reason, or truth. To see this, let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Romans. We can see this. Romans chapter 3, we see that the Word of God is right. It is absolute truth. Romans chapter 3, and verse 4. Let's read 3:3 and 3:4. Romans 3:3 says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Verse 4, certainly not. Let God be true and every man a liar. Again, God's word is true and every man is a liar, meaning even if we don't believe it, like it says in verse 3, even if we don't believe, God is still faithful and still true. So we see that the word of God is right. Let's go back to Psalm 19 again. Sorry, you should probably keep a marker there today. I'm going to keep going back and forth here. Go back to Psalm 19. See the next characteristic of the Word of God in verse 8. It says, the statutes of the Lord are right. Or, I'm sorry, we just did that one, didn't we? Verse 8, second half. The commandment of the Lord is what? It's pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure. What does this mean? The Word of God is free from anything of a different or inferior message. It is clear. It's free from blemishes. It's untainted with evil. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, was very clear about the message of the Bible, especially the gospel, when he told the Galatians in 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Very, very clear. He even repeated himself a second time that the Bible is clear, that it is pure, that is free from any inferior message. Psalm 19, verse 9 says, the fear of the Lord is what? It's clean. The Word of God is clean. Again, these are all synonyms. The fear of the Lord is clean. The Word of God is clean. What does this mean? It's very similar to the word pure, but the word clean also implies that the Word of God is clear. It's free from any extraneous matter that would cloud our thinking. While there are some difficult passages in our Bible put forth, some people tell you that you can't just simply understand it, that it's too complicated or that it's too hard. But that's not true. The Bible also has a very simple message to it. If anybody tells you this, that it's too complicated or too difficult for them to understand, have them read John 3:16 to you and ask them, how do you interpret that? And we'll actually see some more verses in the book of John later that we can show you that there's a very simple message put forth in the Bible. And next we see the last characteristic I want to go through with you today in Psalm 19. We read again in verse 9. Actually, it's in verse that the judgments, first part is still 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, but it also enduring forever. The last one I want to look at, the characteristic of the Word of God, is it endures forever. What does this mean? We need to remember that throughout all of history, God was communicating to us. God spoke directly to Adam and Eve in the garden, and even after sin separated them from God, He still spoke, even through the prophets, and then through eventually the ultimate form of Jesus, or ultimate form of communication, was through Jesus Christ. God sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born, made a man that we could know Him, that we could know God. Let's go to John in the New Testament, and we'll see this. The ultimate form of communication from God to man. John chapter 1. We'll read John 1, 1 through 4. The Word of God endures forever. How do we know this? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We can see here that the Word was God and was with God, and He was in the beginning. Who is that? We can skip to verse 14 quick. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Who was the one that came in the flesh? Obviously, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, we see here that Jesus Christ was in the beginning. He was the Word. He was in the beginning. And we also know that God's Word will endure in the future as well. As in Matthew 24:35 tells us, heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus Christ said, my words will by no means pass away. Again, we've seen that the Word of God endured in the past, and it will again in the future. So the second reason why we see that the Word of God is valuable from Psalm 19 is because of its characteristics. But thirdly, Psalm 19 tells us the Word of God is so valuable because of its benefits. So let's go back to Psalm 19. And we'll see that. So the benefits of the Word of God. We can see from Psalm 19 that the Word of God is valuable because of the benefits. Isn't this how we assign a value to most of the things in our lives today? Some people may place more valuable on looking good than others. Some spend thousands of dollars on makeup or going to the gym or even surgery to make themselves look good. Other people may spend a lot of money on valuable things in their life like hunting or fishing or other hobbies, and they place the value there. I'm going to ask you to write down in your handouts, I know there's not a lot of room there, but write down the top three most valuable things in your life. Top three most valuable things or people maybe even. What do you spend your time and your money on? Write down the most valuable things in your life. Now, if you're having trouble thinking about this, the top three, consider this. Where or what are you spending your two greatest resources on? I remember an illustration that Pastor Sean gave at the Duluth Bible Conference a couple years ago. Maybe some of you remember this. He said, show me your checkbook and show me your calendar, and I will show you where your priorities are. And I just thought that was such a convicting message when he said that, and I still remember it to this day. He said, I will show you what you're valuing in life. Wow. If you were to group the expenses in your checkbook every month, besides the non-discretionary items like housing and food and clothing, where would your expenses lie? Where would they be? Would they show you where your priorities are? How about your calendar? The same thing. Besides the truth, besides the things that you have to do on your calendar, maybe go to school or go to work and sleeping, where do you spend your time? So does that help you write down your top three priorities in your life. Now, the word of God is very clear that God does want us to enjoy our lives. It's not that any money we don't spend on Him or our time that isn't spent directly on the Word of God is in vain. For 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us that we are to do all things to the glory of God. It says whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The hub and the wheel and spoke example that Pastor gives is, I think, a great example of this. I don't have it drawn out, but Pastor draw the illustration of a center hub of a wheel. And in the center, Jesus Christ wants to be the center of our lives. And while at the ends of the spokes, you can draw other things, like your house, your kids, your job, maybe your hobbies, but you've got to always remember that Jesus Christ wants to be the hub of your life. Let's see from the Word of God what the benefits are, again, of the Word of God. So we see in Psalm 19, the very first thing that the Word of God can do. What can it do? Convert the soul. Psalm 19:7 tells us, the law of the Lord is perfect. Again, what can it do? It can convert the soul. What does this mean? The first major benefit of the Bible is that the Bible explains the only method of salvation. In Acts 4:12, we can read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We can see that the only method of salvation is from Jesus Christ, is through Jesus Christ. And we know that because of our Bible. But the question is, how did we get into it? How do we get in on salvation? So let's start with John 3:16. Let's look in the New Testament at some verses in John. As I told you earlier, that the Bible may be difficult in some areas, but it also has a very simple message put forth. Pastor Sean, again in Grand Rapids, when I first got saved, taught us a really good method for sharing the gospel. I'm going to share that with you today. Let's read John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We see from John 3:16 the simple message of the Bible, that God became a man, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believes in him has everlasting life. So now in your Bibles, after John 3:16, write down the verse 3:36. So what you can do when you're talking with somebody is you start off with John 3:16, and then you see after John 3:16, the verse 3:36. So if you look over at 3:36, it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Again, this verse very clear on you have to believe on Jesus Christ to have everlasting life. And this verse also tells you that you can't be impartial to this message, that you either have everlasting life or you have the wrath of God abiding on you. So after 3:36 in your Bibles, write down the verse 5:24. 5:24. So this kind of helps you. If you have your Bible and you're talking to somebody, you just see these verses, you just can keep flipping through the book of John. John 5:24 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and he shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Again, another great verse telling us that not only do you get salvation by believing in him, but that it also happens at that exact point because you have passed from death to life. After John 5:24, write down 6:35. 6:35. We can turn over there. 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Again, what is the key you need to do? Believe in Jesus Christ. After 6:35, write down 6:47. 6:47 says, Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does what again? Believes in me has everlasting life. Again, the Bible is clear. It's valuable. It can tell us the method of salvation. It can convert the soul. We just read five verses in the book of John that are very clear. The only method of salvation is by believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's go back to Psalm 19 and see the second reason why the Word of God is so valuable. The benefits, not only can it convert the soul, but it can also make wise the simple. Make wise the simple. We read in Psalm 19, verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure. What can it do? It can make wise the simple. Not only does the Word of God make us wise to salvation, but also gives us instruction for godly living. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, if you want to make your light count, your life count in light of eternity, we need not only to hear God's Word, but we need to be able to read it, to study it or meditate on it, and we also are to memorize it. The Word of God is clear. It can make wise the simple. But again, in Psalm 19, verse 8, we see the third benefit to the Word of God. What can it do? The statutes of the Lord, they rejoice the heart. The Word of God can rejoice your heart. And when I think of rejoicing the heart, I think of what the true joy a Christian can have, even through trials in life. We all know that trials will come. And we read in the Bible, John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have many promises also in the Word of God that we can claim. Even if we don't understand the situations perfectly, we know that God is still in control. Earlier, if you remember, we sang the song, It Is Well With My Soul. It's a very encouraging song, but the story behind it is even more encouraging. Again, this is a high-pitched song that maybe you don't like to sing as much, but the words are very encouraging. Maybe you've heard the story before, but it goes like this. The story begins with Horatio Spafford, who lived in the 1800s. He was a wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice, a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. He was also a devout Christian and a faithful student of the Scriptures. His circle of friends included Dwight L. Moody, Ira Sankey, and various other well-known Christians of the day. At the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife suffered the tragic loss of their son. Shortly thereafter, on October 8, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that Spafford had. In 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from the tragedy. He also wanted to go on and meet Moody and Sankey on an evangelistic campaign in England. Spafford sent his wife and daughters ahead of him while he remained in Chicago to take care of some unexpected last-minute business. Several days later, he received notice that his family's ship had encountered a collision, and all four of his daughters had drowned. Only his wife had survived. With a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him to his grieving Anna in England. It was on this trip that he penned those now famous words, when sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. Wow, what an amazing story. He penned those words right after that tragic incident. Of course, we all know that tragedy is still around us today. More recently, you've heard about a story of about a family from Minnesota where a father and three of his sons were killed in a plane crash. What immense grief this family must be going through. I can't even begin to empathize with her. But listen to the following message that she posted on the family's website. We are deeply saddened by the loss of our beloved Luke, Nate, Nick, and Noah. We look to God as our refuge and strength and trust Him to carry us through these painful days ahead. Now, I don't know anything about the Buckland family, but they obviously know that they can look to God in this tragic time. Maybe you, too, have had some extreme tragedy strike close to your heart. in your lives. Do you know the peace of God? Do you know that you can trust Him for all things, even in these difficult times? Can you say, it is well with my soul? But next, I want to look at the Word of God from Psalm 19, verse 8. The Word of God can do what? The commandments of the Lord is pure. It can enlighten the eyes. The Word of God can also enlighten our eyes. And this means that the Word of God can open our eyes to divine viewpoint. We need this because we, by nature, don't think the way God would have us to think. Let's turn to Isaiah 55 and we'll see this. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:8. God is speaking here. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." Again, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We need the Word of God to enlighten our eyes to think like He would have us to think. And the last benefit I want to cover as we go back to Psalm 19 in your Bibles, go back to Psalm 19, we see in verse 11, "Moreover, brethren, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." There is great reward. The last benefit this morning that we see from Psalm 19 is that in keeping it, there is great reward. Now this probably in the context is speaking again about inner peace that we can have and joy in the Christian life because of our position in Christ. But I'm also reminded of the great reward that we will have one day during the believer's judgment. To see that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, while trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior guarantees you a free ticket into heaven, service in your Christian life will merit you rewards. And actually, let's go to Ephesians first and we'll see that. Just thought about a verse in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, another very clear explanation of the gospel. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast." But verse 10, "But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? For good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Again, it's the will of God that we would walk in good works. 1 Corinthians, let's go there now. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll see you. Benefit to serving the Lord and to viewing the Word of God as valuable in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 11. "Again, there is no other foundation that can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Again, the key in your Christian life is you need to be saved. The foundation needs to be on Jesus Christ. But after that, verse 12, "If anybody builds on this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stones, or with wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day," what day? "The day of judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort or quality that means is. Now, if anybody's work which he has built it on endures," meaning the precious stones, "he will receive" what? "A reward." The Bible is clear. You will receive a reward. "Now, if anybody's work is burned, he will suffer loss." What will he lose? His rewards. "But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire." The verse is clear that you will not lose your salvation. You will still be saved, but we will lose our rewards. So when I think of why the Word of God is so valuable, we can also see because in keeping it, there is great rewards. Not only can we have inner peace as Christians, but we can also have the anticipation that one day at the Bema Seat judgment, we will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we've seen today from Psalm 19 that the Word of God is valuable for three reasons. We've seen that the source of the Word of God is what? It's of the Lord. we've seen that the characteristics and the benefits make it valuable to us. But I just want to look now at some practical applications about the Word of God. And first of all, on your handle, on the back page, I believe there, says that the Word of God is, first of all, to be believed. First of all, the Word of God is to be believed. In order to be valuable to you, not only do you need to read it and to study it, but you need to believe it for yourself. You need to believe it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll see this. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll see, first of all, what believing is, or what is faith. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is what? It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. First of all, we see that the Word of God is to be believed. And what does believe mean? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Again, the Bible gives us evidence of the things that we have not seen. But secondly, let's look down at verse 6. That we see that the Word of God is valuable, that we need to believe it. Because in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and again, that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We see that the Word of God needs to be believed because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Did you know that you could read the Bible back and forth all your life and not truly believe it? That you need to actually personally accept the message of salvation to be saved. And that you need to believe the promises of the Word of God are true for your lives. Otherwise, in those tragedy, in those difficult times, you wouldn't be able to say, it is well with my soul. But thirdly, let's go to Romans chapter 10. See another principle that the Word of God is to be believed. Romans chapter 10. And how do we believe the Word of God? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, we see that faith can only come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How can you believe a message if you've never heard it before? It's very clear that the Word of God is to be believed. But secondly, we also see from the Scripture that it's to be studied. The Word of God is to be studied. Let's go to 2 Timothy to see this. Again, I'm sure that's why you've come out this morning, was to hear the Word of God taught, and that ultimately we trust the Lord that our pastor is teaching us the Scriptures, and that he's studying it, that he's diligently serving it up to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15, the Bible says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. The King James Version says, study to show yourselves approved unto God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, we see that the Word of God is to be studied, or be diligent, carries the idea there, to show yourself approved unto God. Secondly, let's go to 1 Peter and see another reason why we need to study the Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. And I think of this verse quite a bit, actually, in the summer times when we do our fair evangelism. If you've ever been out there, you know that you never quite know who's going to sit down and talk with you. Some days you might get somebody that knows nothing about the Scriptures, knows nothing about the message of Jesus Christ in the Bible. And some days you might get somebody that comes out that is very knowledgeable in the Scriptures, and they believe something different than you doctrinally. And are you able to give an answer to that person of why you believe the way you do? While we may come here and understand when pastor is teaching to us, are you able then to repeat that and to show from the Scriptures your beliefs? Are you able to show somebody clearly from John the message of salvation? Are you able to show them verses on eternal security and why you believe that? So I always think of this verse as very convicting, that the Word of God is to be studied, and we are to memorize it, and we are to be ready to give an answer always to everyone that asks the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. But third, let's go back to Romans chapter 3. We'll see the third reason why the Word of God is to be studied. Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, 3 and 4 says, "For what if some do not believe? Will their unbelief make their faithfulness of God without effect?" We read this before. "Certainly not. Let God be true and every man a liar." Again, we need to study the Word of God because absolute truth can only come from God. Absolute truth can only come from God. We know that our Bible is accurate today in what we read. And we see that the truth can only come from God. But lastly, in our practical applications this morning, I want to look at the fact that we need the Word of God to be applied in our lives. That the Word of God is to be applied. First, let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1:22 tells us, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." So the Word of God is to be applied in our lives. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And this is a great example here that James gives us in chapter 1. He tells us an example of a guy that looks in the mirror and probably sees something wrong with himself. So I think of getting up this morning maybe and looking in the mirror, and maybe not me, but maybe somebody with longer hair would have messy hair. Maybe you didn't shave. Maybe you got to brush your teeth. You had something in your teeth. But that would be the example of a person that got up this morning, looked in the mirror and said, "Wow, I need to make some adjustments." But then just walked away from the mirror and said, "Oh, that's all right," and forgot about that, and then came to church this morning. Wouldn't that be amazing if you thought that, if somebody actually did that? Would go look in the mirror and then just forget what they saw. And that's what the Word of God here, that's what the Bible is telling us here, that you need to be a doer of the Word of God. The Word of God gives us instructions for godly living, and we need to heed those examples. If you read the Word of God and you see a principle from it, and it says, "This is the will of God," and you go against it, you are like a forgetful seer in a mirror. It's foolishness. God's will is perfect, right? Romans 12:2 says, the will of God is perfect, acceptable, and it's good. Right? So this is a great example, I think, in the book of James, that we are to be doers of the Word of God and not hearers only. You can't be passive to the Word of God when you read it. And remember, Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it pierces you. You either respond positively to the Word of God or negatively. But secondly, let's go to Romans, and we'll see another reason why the Word of God is to be applied in our lives. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, in verses 1 and 2. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's holy and it's acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Again, the second reason the Word of God is to be applied is because that the Word of God is able to transform you. Again, we've seen that one of the reasons the Word of God can be trusted today is that it is you, Y-O-U, is because the Bible is personally transforming. And if you allow it to transform your thinking, and it's done how? It's by the renewing of your mind. It's by hearing the Word of God taught, and by reading it yourselves, and by studying it and applying it. Thirdly, Let's go to Matthew 4:4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4:4, Jesus says here, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We see here the word of God is to be viewed as an essential part of living, as needed as eating or drinking. And it's interesting here, this is one of the verses, Jesus here is actually being tempted by the devil, and he's speaking to him. And he's quoting Scripture. Remember earlier I said that one of the reasons we can believe our Bible is because Jesus Christ believed it. And here's one of those verses where Jesus says, it is written. So Jesus Christ believed the Bible, the Word of God. Shouldn't we? Next, let's go to 1 Peter. We'll see another reason why the Word of God should be applied in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 2. And these are all verses I'm sure most of you have seen before and thought about. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. The Word of God is to be desired like a baby does milk. It is an absolute necessity for a baby to grow. And we need to view that as the same way in our Christian lives. We need to see it as a necessity, as an essential part of living, just like milk is to a baby. It's the only thing that they need. But lastly, let's stop at in Matthew chapter 6 on our way back to Psalm 19. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, we'll read verses 19 through 21. 19 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, we see that the Word of God is to be treasured, because that is where your heart will be. Are we treasuring the Word of God here? This is even a convicting message as I was putting this together. How much do we treasure the Word of God? Let's go back to Psalm 19 and see what that says about treasuring the Word of God in our passage today. Psalm 19, verses 10. Again, after seeing the value of the Word of God, we see in verse 10 that it's more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Do we see that the Word of God is more valuable than gold in our day? Now, today we use paper currency mainly, so we don't even see that, and even electronic currency. Most of the times we don't even carry cash anymore, but I was thinking about the value of gold, and it reminded me of the gold rush in the mid-1800s in California. And I read a little bit about it, and it talked about more than 300,000 people flocked to California in the mid-1800s to go look for gold during the gold rush. They had gold fever. People came from miles away, thousands of miles away. And again, this was before mass transportation, so they didn't hop a plane or get in a car and go to California. They had to go in wagon or on ships. And it was hard. It was difficult. And they packed up their families and moved thousands of miles during the gold rush just to see if they could make it, if they could find some gold. Do we see it this way today? Do we see the Word of God as valuable as gold? Are we willing to sacrifice and to do this? And it reminds me of another story of a man I met from Duluth Bible Church a couple years ago at the men's camping trip. I was talking to him about where he was from and where he lived, and he had told me that he had moved halfway across the country to Duluth earlier that year. And I thought that was kind of funny. I said, well, why? And he said he had started hearing Duluth's messages on the website, and he just couldn't, he was just amazed by the value of the Word of God in Duluth and how impactful it was. And he came up for a Duluth Bible conference, and he listened to it, and he said, this is just where I need to be. So he picked up, moved his family across the country to go to Duluth Bible Church without a job, moved to Duluth, Minnesota, which maybe some of us would say was probably not wise, but he's seen the value of the Word of God. And even today in our church, we have people that drive from hundreds of miles away. Just amazed by the thinking out there today that, what? You guys don't go to a church that's next door to your house? Do you see a value in coming to hear the Word of God? I think of one of my classmates told me one time when I told him I was going to a church down in Edina, and he said, what do you mean? You haven't found a church any closer? You're still going there? And I said, absolutely. I said, I'm not looking. I'm not looking for something else. I said, I found where the Word of God is taught and where it's valued. So with that, let's pray. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you again for today. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together again to see your scriptures, God, and see the importance of the Word of God in our lives. We just thank you again for this local church. We know there's others out there, God, that are teaching your scriptures. We just pray, God, that you just continue to use your message, the simplicity message of the gospel, that people could get saved, people could understand the truth of Jesus Christ, and that with that truth, that could set them free, God, not only free from hell into heaven, but also in their Christian lives, God, that we would just be seeing the awesomeness of you, God, the principles and the precepts from the Word of God, that we can even have joy in our tribulations, that we can just understand and know those things because you have overcome the world. We thank you again for this day. We just even pray now, God, as we sing, as we have potluck, God, that you would undertake with all that. We just pray for again for our pastor, God, continue to guide and direct with him. Give him wisdom and direction as he teaches us and leads us into the future. I just pray that we would have the mentality of the Word of God is more valuable than gold. We just thank you for all these things. We just commit this day to you now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.